This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. I'm David Michael, your host and editor of MyOldManSaid.com. Joining me to get in sync with what's going to happen at the weekend against the Saints as Villa visit St. Mary's, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I just had a tussle with the postman, Royal Mail postman, actually.
Not physically?
Well, yeah, I pushed him out of the house.
Oh, bloody hell.
He pressed the buzzer and he kept on pressing it. And you know, you're looking for your keys and then you're walking up the hall and he kept on pressing it. And I opened the door and I said, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you keep pressing that buzzer? Well, I didn't know if it was working or not. Well, it worked. So like, I couldn't hear it. Well, you're outside. The idea of the buzzer is for the person inside to hear it. And I could hear it. Then he pushed in front of me because it's flats. It's a shared hallway. But he pushed and I pushed him out. And I said, where do you think you're going? And he said, well, I need a photo of delivering this to the flat. And the flat number was my number. And I said, what's the name on that? And he said a name I don't recognize. And I said, let's have a look at the address. And the address was actually two doors down. He didn't even get it wrong, like it's the next one. It was like two doors down. So I told him, you know, see you later. And this is the thing. It's like strikers in the Premier League. You want a striker that can deliver.
consistently.
You don't want a striker that doesn't even know where the goal is.
Is this your long-winded story to nickname Ollie Watkins two doors down?
No. Well, I could do. But this is my segue into the Danny Ings situation, as elaborate as it may be. Anyway, so I've just got back from visiting a new nephew, so we haven't had time to pen the Villa Minute. So we're just going to just talk about the transfer activity in the last few days before going into the Saints game. So without further ado, let's start with Danny Ings.
Yep.
For me, there's no 100% correct answer here. I think in an ideal world, you keep him in your squad, because if you get rid of Ings now, we are weaker. Matchday squad, Aston Villa is weaker than it was last week. That is a fact. Whether he's starting or not, it's kind of immaterial, and because we are playing with a matchday squad now. You've got to look at the matchday squad when you've got a manager who's no stranger to playing his five subs. It's like your first 16 is the important factor, yep. Isn't it?
Yep.
So this one's, it's more like the financials aligned, and that's why it happened all of a sudden.
I think so.
I mean, he's our top scorer and he scored seven goals, but he's only started eight league games, which suggests the more playing time he has, you know, obviously the more goals he would have had. Yeah. So you're in a situation where a club kind of catches you on the hop. They're offering you money, which when you work it out, and you've got to factor in the wages he's obviously receiving, you know, he's in the hundreds of thousands, or over 100,000, should I say. And you know you're not going to get, he's going to have 1 year left on his contract next summer. He's going to be 31 years old. And you'll be lucky to get past 10 million for him. Ideally, Villa have to get somebody else in because they've also got Archer out on loan. They've brought Duran in, who we'll quickly talk about in a second. But he, you know, he's still a youngster. He's 19. No guarantees he's going to hit the ground running. You know, you would factor in there'd be an adjustment
period. Acclimatisation.
Yeah, acclimatisation adjustment period.
If not the, you know, the playing side, which is one thing, but the level he's going to be dealing with day in, day out in terms of training, which he'd have been nowhere near this,
yeah,
with the greatest respect to an MLS team. The tempo, the intensity of a training session of a Premier League team.
Yeah, so back to Ings. I think West Ham put a clock on this and said, these are the financials, but we need it this week or else we're going elsewhere. Because Villa ideally would have said, yeah, interesting, we'll think about it. And they'd have dragged it out to the end of the window. But, you know, every week is obviously important for West Ham when you're in a relegation battle because, you know, we drag it out another 2 weeks and we can get somebody in without appearing desperate to clubs that we're buying off, because there's a difference. You know, if you haven't got Ings, people see you coming, agents, clubs going, well, you know, you really need him, so give us a couple more million and the deal's ours. While if you've got Ings, you can be a bit more, we're interested, but we've got a decent strike force, so this is more for the future, so see you later. So you can walk away in the negotiation process, but you know, when you're just down to Watkins, then people know you need a striker. So we're in a precarious position at the negotiation table, put it that way. People say in Emery we trust, but he's not a factor. It's already out there that Duran was 6 months of sweet talking with Villa's recruitment team going over to America several times. So this isn't an Emery buy. And the Danny Ings would have been directed to Lang and Purslow, and they'd have said to Emery, well, this is kind of an offer we're looking at, and we think it's too good to turn down.
Yeah, they sort of say, look, we want to do this deal. Are there any objections? You know, I'm sure if Emery really puts his foot down, but I don't think with a player like Ings, with the greatest respect to him, I don't think you do that, do you? There's too much, not necessarily upside, but there's too much like loss prevention, if you want to call it that, to kind of go, actually, this is probably going to be the time to do this. Because if we do it in the summer, which I think Villa would have done either way, if I'm honest, I don't think he would have been here next season anyway. They're thinking, well, if we can get the deal we want, great. It allows, you know, the 15 million in the pot, because it might just be a cash up front deal. Yeah. If West Ham are desperate, and then you factor in 100 plus grand a week off your wage bill, bearing in mind any other outs.
Because you're talking 12 up front and an extra 5 if West Ham avoid relegation.
Yeah, and I think they're probably thinking of the possibilities, knowing that you play Southampton this weekend, then you've got 2 weeks before your next game. It allows you to actually have a little bit of time to get your deals over the line without having to worry about shit. You know, we play, I don't know, you know, Southampton on the Saturday, we've got a midweek game and et cetera, et cetera. We've had sort of had the batch of games close together. Now we can sort of try and get what we want to get done. Because Emery's come out and said it, hasn't he? He's like, you know, he already said that Duran is not a direct replacement for Ings. And he's already said, I want a midfielder and a wide player.
And Emery can join in that conversation a bit more when he's not having to prepare for a game. This deal, I don't think, would have happened if two things were in play. One was if we were still in one of the cups, I don't think this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is if Ings was a year younger, I don't think this would have happened.
And maybe if we were a few places higher or lower in the league.
Yeah, if we were in the relegation battle.
Because we're kind of on the fringes of things, you know. You think we're pretty unlikely to be in a relegation battle, but we are pretty unlikely to be sort of at the real business end of the table. We'd like to think we could be. Our maximum ceiling is what, maybe seventh, and that's in an exceptional circumstance.
Yeah.
But realistically, they want to be top 10, which they could. Do you think, could you achieve top 10 without Danny Ings? I would hazard a guess, yes. Yeah, I think all the stars have aligned on this one, where Villa are just like, you know what, this is a good deal. And as every pundit and journalist has said, it's like, this is probably the right deal for all parties at this point, which I would reluctantly agree with. I would have personally kept him till the summer and gone, well, if it's the difference between 15 million and 10 million, whatever. So it would suggest to me they've got something close. I don't know what it would be, but I do think Villa will have one, maybe two that they think are close, and they want that money, be it in wages or transfer fee, to use.
I would actually say further to it's a good deal for all parties concerned. I would also say it's not the ideal deal for all parties concerned as well at the same time.
No, because I think Villa would have ideally wanted to keep him, yeah.
And I probably ideally Ings wanted to stay and Villa wanted to keep him ideally, but it's more the finances that have come into play here. Duran, we'll talk about him more on the main show. As it's been indicated, he's one more for the future. But probably if we don't get anybody over the line before the end of the transfer window, he may get a bit more of a fast-track opportunity than first expected, which works in his favour.
And what I would say in regards to him, just from the little bits of scouting stuff I've seen in videos and whatnot, when we brought Moreno in, Emery had been very open about Augustinsson and Digne being a bit similar and that he wanted a little bit more variety in that position. I think Duran probably gives us the little bit of variety down the middle where you wouldn't class Watkins or Ings as a target man. Duran looks a lot more sort of tall.
Number nine.
A little bit more of an all-round. Yeah, he's an out-and-out number nine for me. Looks kind of in the similar mould to someone like a Tone at Brentford, maybe. Yep. That kind of player. And I think that maybe gives you the option of something different, which maybe we would have had in years gone by with someone like a Keenan Davis. But of course, we know what Keenan Davis is about. He doesn't score goals. This guy looks like he might know where the goal is, albeit in the MLS. No, we shall see.
But also he needs to have that at least a certain level of pace to really play in this Villa team. And I think that he brings that as well. So it's not like a target man without pace.
Yeah, he's probably just filling the hole that neither Watkins or Ings has. You know, Ings isn't sort of lightning quick. Watkins isn't tall. Danny's not exactly, you know, 6'5" and a sort of a powerhouse. It's just a bit of variety.
Yeah. Before we go on, I just want to say, if you want to get rid of annoying ads and you just want that pure experience of listening to the podcast, you can become a My Old Man Said member by going to the My Old Man Said website and clicking on the membership link for more details, to as well as get ad-free shows, get extra shows, and to join our illustrious underground inner circle network of Match Club. So please do consider joining us and get details on the website under the membership option on the menu.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, the Saints. We've kind of turned the corner, shall I say, in matches against the Saints. We had gone through a barren spell in the previous decade of 9 games against the Saints without a win. But we've won 3 of the last 4, so getting back at it. Though we did lose our last visit at St Mary's, having won there
during the lockdown period, wasn't it?
Yeah, after a barren spell. They're kind of a team that, although they're bottom of the league, I think they're looking at this period to switch things around, because they've actually done well in the Cups, and they are actually in a semi-final of the League Cup, and winning decent games in the Cup, they beat Manchester City. But the question is, surely a team that can do that can't stay bad in the league, and they'll no doubt be looking at this as a real opportunity to get necessary points on the board I mean, how are you looking at Southampton? I think this is a banana skin in terms of the Emery revolution and Emery's 100% away record.
On the face of it, you would think so. I do think Southampton haven't been great at the back. I think if they view this as a game that we need to be winning and they open up, I do think this is a game that Villa can actually go and sucker punch them in.
Well, no,
defensively, I think we've been quite good. I think it's the kind of game that you can actually go away and get the win in.
Only Bournemouth have conceded more goals this season than... Yep.
I think if I was a betting man, I wouldn't be putting any money at all on a draw in this one. I think it'll go either side. There will be a winner in this one.
Oh.
Just because of the way we play and I think the way they have been playing.
Fourth lowest amount of possession, the Saints. So you would imagine Villa will see a bit of the ball in this game, even though they're away from home. I think they'll probably be forcing the issue more here.
Yeah, I think that I feel like we've relatively battle-hardened, though, after that Leeds game. I think we've shown that we can win in a few different ways now in the last, you know, few months under Emery. And I think this is the kind of game where on paper you go, oh, Southampton have won their last three. They'll look at this one as a, you know, we can definitely get a win here, which I'm sure they feel they can. But they're where they are for a reason. And I do think that the games they have won, they've started well.
Do you know why they're there?
Because they've been shit.
Worst home form in the league. 1 win in 9. Their away form's not too bad. They've actually won 3 games away from home.
I mean, it was a big win for them, wasn't it, last week at Everton? Admittedly, Everton are an absolute dumpster fire at the moment. But I think if Villa can just go there and be professional, get the job done.
Southampton, better away record than Villa and Liverpool. So it would suggest to me they will probably start playing like they do away and they'll let Villa come onto them.
Oh, so be it.
Their home form has to change or else they go down. You can't have the worst home form in the league and expect to stay up.
No. I mean, it's strange, isn't it, this season? That bottom three looks like a kind of a 90s bottom three with Everton and Southampton down there. But I do think Southampton have probably got maybe the chance now to really kind of wag their tail and make the bottom interesting because it's so tight down there, isn't there? There's about 6 or 7 sides within a couple of points of each other.
They've lost the last 3 home games, Southampton. So that's... these things, you don't know if they bode well or not because Villa are all what used to be a charity when it came to teams that needed something.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Emery's been pretty good at sort of ending runs, hasn't he? Like with the United one and our away run. I think it's a game you've got to be going and looking to win this one.
Yeah.
As much as it's difficult, I think great, go there and expect a difficult game, but get the job done still.
The theme of what I wrote for the BBC's Tuesday little mini column that I do for BBC Sport was... We're now entering a period of the Emery reign where you see our next two fixtures and it's Southampton, Leicester also struggling. And you're thinking, well, one thing since we've been back in the Premier League that's let us down is not putting teams away that, let's say, we start favourites against. And there haven't been that many games where we go in as favourites since we've been back from the Championship.
No.
So when you look at the old context of the Emery bounce, you could say, you know, there's obviously been a bounce, if that is such a thing. So if this is more than a bounce, then we've got to be beating Leicester and Southampton and doing something that we didn't, you know, that we haven't been doing in the last few seasons, which is putting teams in the bottom 5 or 6 places away.
Mm-hmm.
So if we beat Southampton, and then you start to think, we actually legitimately may be a different beast now.
I think so. And I do think, I mean, I think we spoke about it at the time. I wonder if the Stevenage result will have sharpened them a little bit. A bit like we spoke about, you know, Argentina lost their first game in the World Cup. It just really sharpens the mind. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if there's a little bit of that where Villa go, do you know what? We would have really wanted a cup run. We need to just keep on track here now and we can actually end the season on a positive. I also think they can throw the kitchen sink at Southampton knowing that they don't play the week after.
Yeah.
So they get a little bit of a rest. There's a chance to get a few people who've got niggles, etc., back fit, you know, get reinforcements in, maybe get a couple of players out. So it could prove to be quite an important couple of weeks for Villa in terms of, you know, the broader context of where we're going to be come May.
Well, yeah, because if you just go on form, you are looking at, so after Southampton and Leicester, you need obviously points on the board there because then you're against Arsenal and Manchester City. Now, I think we're if we get points on the board against those two teams before the clashes against the top two, I think those top two teams will go, this is potential sticky games here based on Villa's current form.
Mm-hmm. Arsenal's an interesting one for me.
I'm looking at an Arsenal team that are looking pretty formidable, I've got to admit.
They are, but I don't think they've had a wobble yet, which they will, or traditionally do.
Manchester City, I think their eyes 100% on the Champions League. If they had to pick one trophy, they would pick that without a doubt in a heartbeat. So there's an opportunity there, I think. And we, you know, the players at least will be buoyed by the fact they were 2-0 up against them in Manchester City's most important game of last season.
Well, we've generally tended to give them a good game, haven't we? All the sort of the big sides, we haven't tended to get blown away too often. Obviously, the City game, we got 3 in 11 minutes or whatever it was on the last day of the season before. The Arsenal one, I do think they've got an interesting run of games coming up. You know, they play United. I think they've got to play City soon. They'll have to come to Villa. And you do wonder if Arsenal are going to have their wobble, it might be about to happen. You know, they haven't had one yet. Most teams do have something, even if it's just one or two games back to back.
If they get Trossard, I think they're kind of being serious, aren't they?
Well, if you're a player looking at them, you're kind of going, yeah, I can add to this. In previous years, you're thinking, do I really want to be part of that side? You know, when you think I might not even play top four.
Trossard is probably like Muzzy, is it, for John Gregory's Villa?
Yeah, maybe that final piece. And also, it's a big loss for Brighton, isn't it, as well?
So anyway, we'll obviously talk about that in a future, something for the weekend. Mm-hmm. But Saints, in terms of threats, it's so obvious. Even Emery's talking about not giving away free kicks to... I think they mentioned Ward-Prowse as the best set piece taker in the world. Emery said he's been talking to Nanny McPhee about him, but also obviously for what we were going to do on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Of which, you know, our set pieces do need to be defended well. You know, we all talk about McPhee's work in terms of the attacking third. Well, you need to get switched on in the defensive third in this one, I think.
Yeah, because that is Southampton's main threat, and he is their main threat as a player. They've won their last three games in all competitions, and I'm trying to think what that factor has been. If there has been a uniform factor that's kind of inspired this.
I mean, I think City must have had a poor night. I mean, I saw little bits. Southampton were good on the ball, to be fair. City were poor at the back, as they have been the last few weeks. You know, they didn't look very clever when United put them under pressure. They didn't look great in midweek against Tottenham a couple of nights before we recorded this. So it might be that Southampton just got a bit of fight and belief, because I sort of looked at this game a couple of weeks ago thinking I wanted Southampton to win that FA Cup game just to keep the manager in a job, but it could be by the time we played him that he was on his last legs. I look at it now and think, well, they're about to play Villa on the Saturday. They're going to a League Cup semi-final on the Tuesday. Could that be a bit of a distraction for them, or will they be all in on the league game and maybe go, the cup game's a bit of a bonus at this point?
I mean, Southampton have been switching their formations. They've played three at the back, or let's say five at the back. Ward-Prowse has also played in the middle of a three behind the front man, or he's played on the left-hand side of, you know, like a four in the midfield. They've played 4-2-3-1. I'm just seeing in the games that they won the last three games, if there was a common formation. The 4-2-3-1, it's the formation that beat City. This is with Ward-Prowse actually playing more central behind, whoever plays up front, whether it's Mara or Adams. And that even seems to be flexible. I mean, they played 4-2-3-1 against away at Palace when they won in the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. And Prowse actually played as one of the two deep sitters. So keep an eye on that, where Prowse actually pops up. When they got beat by Forest at home, I think that was the last time they played three at the back. And then it looks like they've binned that to go 4-2-3-1, basically copying Villa's formation, obviously. So keep an eye out on where Prowse pops up. But he, you know, he's obviously their main threat. But it seems that the 4-2-3-1 has suddenly, well, it's galvanised their results, albeit two of them have been in cups. It's always strange, though, how you can... It's like when Villa were under Sherwood, managed to get into the FA Cup final.
Even under Smith with the League Cup run, when you think about it, as much as we kind of waltzed into the semis.
Yeah, then you have like Wigan, who won the FA Cup and got relegated.
Birmingham obviously won the League Cup win and got relegated.
But the interesting thing, as you mentioned, is Southampton, their next game midweek is...
Newcastle in the Cup.
Semi-final.
And is that, I think, it just subconsciously, you that can be a distraction. It might not be. It might be that they're all in on the league game and go, do you know what, we don't expect to win this semi and we can... But it might be that the cup form just galvanises their league form a little bit, as we've seen so many times before.
Yeah, I mean, when you beat Manchester City, that generally inspires you on, doesn't it? But it's still a focus. So they're only human. Their eyes may not be on the ball 100%. We shall see. But watch out for their formation. If they're playing 4-2-3-1, then that seems to be where they're heading. But it's... Prowse has varied where he's actually popped up in that formation. If he's playing more central behind the front man, then is that a good thing or a bad thing for Villa?
I don't know. I don't know, because I think we've got Kamara and Luiz who look quite a good partnership in there now. I think in previous years, potentially, you would have thought, oh, God, if anyone gets in between the lines, they can cause us problems. I think with Kamara in there now, we're a slightly different beast, certainly in the last couple of games. I thought he was brilliant against Leeds, by the way.
Yeah, so actually, this new Saints formation may fall into our hands because it essentially puts Ward-Prowse in the Kamara zone. So that's where I want him to
be. He's in our kill zone.
That's where I want him to be. I want Kamara to be the man who's on him. Because he's the one who would neutralise him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
agreed.
In terms of the threats, we've just worked it out. There is no threat. Kamara's taken care of.
Famous last words.
Kamara's taken care of Ward-Prowse. So it's going to be a nice, relaxing weekend for everybody. There's famous last words. If you're a Southampton podcast, please feel free to clip that bit, but make sure you credit My Old Man Said podcast. Thank you very much. Right, My Old Man Said, Pulse Panel result. What are you going for?
Tentatively an away win.
Yeah, I think I've just convinced myself away win as well. Even though we haven't got Ings, you do feel weaker now because we spread the goals around, but our top scorer and somebody who has been bagging them in recent games, I may add, is no more.
And it's not like the new guy's in and ready to sort of shock everyone, you know, out of nowhere.
Just for your information, in the league anyway, Danny Ings has made 8 starts this season, further 10 appearances off the bench, scored 6 goals. Next top scorer is actually Bailey in the league with 4. That's from 15 starts. Then it's Buendia and Watkins. Buendia has started 11 times compared to Ollie Watkins at 17. So Watkins, pretty poor return at the moment. If you just
pressure's on now, second half of the season,
if you just
isn't it?
Boil it down, and yeah, the focus is very much on him. Right, so until we join you again for the main show, fingers crossed, our threats analysis and Pulse Panel's results come true. Do you want to bet against us?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.